Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Yes, Max Gawn, Brody Grundy, the Tap Brothers, no more. Saints in free fall, Dogs stumbling, but the Blues, how far can they go? And the Cats can't do it again, can they? Welcome to the Footy Podcast. Today on the show, we talk the AFLW fixture with Lauren Wood. Is everyone happy? And we're joined by draft expert Chris Kavanagh, who runs us through his top 30 power rankings following the under-18 champs. But first, the AFL is proposing the possibility of a wild card round. John Ralph talks us through the latest. Now, we're joined by John Ralph. Now, Ralph, you set the cat amongst the pigeons last night. There's not often where times where I get on Twitter and I just see comments in the hundreds for a story that was posted 10 minutes ago. Now, the wild card round, it's controversial. It pits the old against the young. It's a possibility, though, and something the AFL is canvassing clubs.
We are in the entertainment business. You know, the hearts and minds of, the soccer fans and the netball fans is not really what we're trying to steal. It's the young kids. It's the young kids these days like you, Will. How old are you, Will?
27.
That is officially whippersnapper status, though, you know. So these young kids, they love NBA. They love Serie A. They love all the mid-season trade periods that absolutely captivate. And so that's why the AFL is looking at things like this. So the story is that Andrew Dillon's throwing it up as part of a slide on fixture innovation.
Yeah.
So the AFL is very keen to for us to stress. It's not coming in this year.
Yeah.
It's just something we're thinking about. Stop being fuddy-duddies. Bring it in. I absolutely love it. Now, within parameters, I'm well aware of the fact that if we had 10 teams who could effectively part of the final series, so let's call it 7v10 and 8v9, it does reward mediocrity. But I think if you had a single weekend where 8 plays ninth on the weekend of that preseason bye, you get 100,000 at the MCG or 60,000 at Adelaide Oval. You get, I would sell it off, you know, to a Channel 10 or a Fox Footy or whatever it might be, you know, get $2 or $3 million out of it. I'd have a State of Origin game that same weekend. A lot of people would say it's the same weekend that we normally have round one of the AFLW. When that season expands, the AFLW season will start in mid-August. I just think the AFL needs to just get its head out of the sand, as it was able to do with Gather Round, make money for everyone, give us something else to talk about all year. I don't see the negative of it, as long as it's 8 versus 9th and we're not rewarding those sides who, let's face it, won 11 games in a season and don't deserve to be in that, you know, what would be a 7th versus 10th playoff.
Now, is this an Andrew Dillon brainchild, or is this something that the AFL has probably always wanted to do and they're just using it as a tool this year, given it is a new CEO and there's a chance for fresh ideas?
I think you always look at what the AFL does in lower competitions. So they're in charge of the VFL. They brought in a wildcard weekend. They want to see how it works. Of course, they often trialled rules like kicking backwards and, you know, 20-metre kicks and, you know, all those kind of things, you know, before they consider bringing them in. So the AFL would say it's just a spitball. We just want to hear what clubs do. But for many, many years, the AFL has done this. They throw things up the flagpole. They see what the response is. And for probably the 70% of people who said, I hate it, I think 30% of people out there are like, we see how good it is in the NBA. It rates really well. It's on cable. So, you know, it might only rate 3 or 4 million, but that's, you know, that's still another however many games it is. It captures the attention of the fans out there.
Have you canvassed any views of clubs as of yet?
A couple of the clubs which I spoke to yesterday to get the story, they're like, no, we like it. I thought it was interesting on AFL 360 where Brett Ratton said, no, you know, it's a marathon through to the finals, don't like it. But Adam Kingsley, the former Richmond assistant, now JWS coach, says, yeah, it's great. You know, it holds the interest of so many people. The problem is, and, you know, I work for Fox Footy, there are so many games towards the back 6 weeks of the year that are irrelevant. Now, this year it's been great. We've got a packed schedule. But how bad was that Sunday contest when you knew that West Coast were out of it? You know, there were some pretty ordinary games across the weekend. You knew that North Melbourne was out of it and they were pathetic. Now, you can't save North Melbourne from themselves. They're always going to be an ordinary side in this year, and so you can't liven that contest. But if you've got a team who could win the last four out of the last seven and all of a sudden get into that ninth place spot, so what's the downside? We play an extra game. Not more than half teams are able to qualify for finals or that play-in tournament. What is the downside of that single week apart from tearing up tradition for all those fuddy-duddies out there?
Yeah, I'm probably not the person to argue with because I agree in the sense that the top eight hasn't been a long-standing tradition. The eight, the five, it has been a moving beast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it does make sense to know to have nine teams given it's an 18-team competition.
Yeah.
It is 50-50. So, look, I'm all for it. I do agree with you, though. I think the AFL will, you know, this is flying a kite and they will bring it in eventually. They want to gauge opinion, a bit like a night grand final. It'll come, and this is the first phase, is canvassing the clubs and the wider fan base.
And I think to the leave the game aloneers, and there's some of them out there, a lot of them, aficionados of the rules, leave the game alone. Those people are also saying, how good is it that the star goal kickers out there are able to kick fives and sixes because we've had the stand rule and we've tweaked a few other things as well. So it's been a tough period for those guys. So I understand what they say. I understand the value of, many of the traditions of the AFL. I just don't think the final eight is one of those. So let's throw it up and, let's see what we can do.
And for the record, if the season finished today,
yep.
So we'd have Essendon versus GWS in your sort of concept 8v9, is
yep.
that right?
Yep.
That'd be a pretty cracking contest.
That'd be fantastic. Yeah. So Essendon would probably play at the MCG. Now, would you say that they've broken their finals hoodoo?
No. Oh, that's it. Now, there are areas I like.
For all my mates in my WhatsApps, I'd say it's a false final. So it's a bit like when Carlton came into the finals in, 2014 and beat Richmond?
Yes, Judd.
I was there that day. I still don't accept that was a final that Richmond lost.
Yeah, okay. This will be fitting. Chris Judd.
Yeah. Nick Dygan.
Yep.
Four goals.
Yep. Exceptional.
Coming off late in. Jared Waite dominated us. Yeah, Bryce Gibbs.
Yep. Oh, there's a bit of that. It's a bit of.
We digress. Yeah, but anyway, So
if Essendon lose or win that, does that count as a final win? I don't know.
It counts as a play-in tournament win.
Wow. That's just another layer
that
I did not think of.
It's a thought bubble, but we saw how quickly the gather round thought bubble turned into a reality.
Ralphie, thanks for bringing this. See you next week.
Cheers.
This is Brownies Podcast.
G'day, it's Jonathan Brown, the host of Brownies Podcast. Along with my boys Dino and Campbell Brown, we give you the world's loosest podcast.
How did you get locked up again?
Oh, I was set up by the Queensland coppers.
This Bazball has been crazy. That Bazball.
Twiggy Cash.
Shove the bullets next time we go to war. God forbid someone gets hurt.
Oh, there it is.
Well done. Ask your smart speaker to play Brownies Podcast or search for Brownies Podcast wherever you listen to your podcast.
Now we're joined by Lauren Wood. Lauren, it's finally here. The AFLW fixture dropped on Monday afternoon. What does it all mean now that it's here?
Well, finally, I think is the key word there, Will. So we were effectively, got to do my maths here, 46 days out from the season. So the clock was certainly ticking. Those daily negotiations that we spoke about last week were ongoing. Understand things came to a bit of a head on Friday. So that essentially unlocked the fixture. I think there's still some pretty heavy negotiating still to go, but it was really important for everyone, not just us being selfish, to know when the games were going to be, particularly the players obviously need to plan their lives. So essentially, they've agreed to the 10 games. Yep. They wanted 12 plus.
Yep.
Wasn't going to get to that point. But on the sort of promise from the AFL that it'll be at least 12 next year, 2024, with continued growth. So essentially the ball is in the league's court now. They've made that commitment. We'll have to wait and see how it's followed through on. But I think it's really important that the fixture, for a few foibles that it's got along the way, at least it's out. People can plan their lives and get on with getting things organised for AFLW.
Yeah, I think we spoke about last week that, someone was going to have to cave, and it did seem like it was going to be the player union because the league had set a starting date. So clearly, though, this guarantee or whatever you call it for next season that games are going to be longer and the players want that looks like that will take place next year.
Yeah, it sounds like that was the promise that they were wanting kind of in return. I wouldn't say it quite got to flashpoint,
yeah,
but I think everyone had that sense that the clock was ticking and the calendar was counting down pretty rapidly, obviously, towards that September 1 start date. So just getting it done, I think it got to that point where it just had to be sorted. So unlocked that. But as you say, on that promise now that, you know, everyone wants to see growth in the game. They need that investment for the entire game to get better. So I think the AFL is hopeful that by keeping it at 10 games, with some of the rule changes that they've brought in, it's going to enhance scoring, all that sort of thing. So, I mean, it's done is probably the major thing. And now I guess they can work on thrashing out that continued growth.
And an early highlight from the fixture, there's going to be a festival of football around the men's final. The AFL the women's grand final is up for grabs based on the winning team's position as usual. Is there anything that jumped out to you that was a little bit different, or was it a more stock standard fixture?
Yeah, so we've got some interesting time slot changes, which I think is, I don't want to look at this in a negative point of view by any means, but it's definitely raised a few eyebrows at clubs. There's a 5:05 time slot on Fridays.
On Friday, okay.
And then across, you know, sort
that's
of the weekend.
Surprising.
So, yeah, it's just a bit of a quirky one. Like, I mean, for broadcasters, with the timing of the games, like, that's not something that's going to take you into the news, for example, from a Channel 7 point of view, if you're on the main channel. But also in terms of crowds, like if you've got after work on a Friday, I know there's one at Frankston involving the last year's Premiers Melbourne against Hawthorn. So just a few sort of quirky ones that a few people have looked at there. One that I must admit caught my eye was that first Saturday night, Hawthorn Essendon, which opened the season last year at Marvel Stadium.
Yep.
Drew sort of 12 or 13,000.
Yep.
That's now being played at Hawthorn's home ground at Frankston as well, which doesn't have a capacity anywhere near that. So that's a weekend where there's no men's footy. So it's the bye weekend before the finals. So
yep.
As you say, they feel like they can start with a bang, a lot of clear air for the women's game. But there is, yeah, there's a few there. There's some pretty big blockbuster games and a few teams playing each other that didn't play each other last season as well. So the grand final's where it's going to get interesting, though, because obviously WBBL have put their fixture
yes.
out last week as well, the women's cricket. Already games slated for that weekend at the MCG,
yep.
Adelaide Oval, you know, whether they can turn games around. So the AFL's committed to that floating grand final
yeah.
for the home team.
Those big stadiums are not going to be.
Yeah,
available.
So that's sort of something that's drawn the ire of players and clubs
yeah.
over recent years where things have been left to the last minute. We saw last year there was the debate about where they would play the grand final, ended up at Springfield,
yep.
At Brisbane's home deck, of course. So, I mean, it's one of those things that they've said that they're committed to and now they're going to have to stick to it. But with big grounds like that, obviously out of the picture, whether they're going to lean on an Icon Park or something like that, if it's in Victoria or even Marvel, I guess we're going to have to wait and see who makes it.
And probably just lastly, it will be interesting. This is probably the first time where, you know, it's a season clear air in this slot. There isn't two seasons in one year. So it'll be a good test case to see how this actually plays out from an attendance, TV ratings, and I guess interest point of view.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Will. Like this is actually from now on, we'll be comparing apples with apples.
Mm.
The last few years, we've had different time slots for the season. As you mentioned last year, two seasons in one year.
COVID
seasons. Of course, a season that was cut short because of COVID as well. So from now on, like that's why this CBA that they're negotiating now is actually going to be so critical moving forward. It's going to define, I guess, the future and growth of AFLW. And from now on, it's all well and good to compare things like attendance and broadcast over recent years, but no two seasons have been the same.
Mm.
So it really will from now on give us that reference point, as you say, the line in the sand, this is when it is and this is how it looks.
Loz, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
I'm Andrew Rule, the host of the podcast A Life in Crimes. Here are some of the things that we've been talking about the last few weeks. The brutal truth is that when you start looking at it, they always kill or injure a lot more than each other.
The professional hitman used to be a professional hitman.
Evil strikes in all forms, but particularly as stupidity. Life and Crimes is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Kavanagh joins us. Cav, the national champs are behind us and your top 30 power rankings have arrived. Takes behind the scenes. How do you whittle down a large group of players into a predicted top 30 draft list?
Yeah, well, I guess I've watched all the national championships games over the last 5 or 6 weeks. As you say, there's been some great matches there and some great performances from individuals, which is what we're looking for. But yeah, watched all them, went to a few of them that were in Victoria, obviously, and then spoke to a handful of recruiters, and we've pulled together just to get a few second thoughts, and we've pulled together this list of where things sort of sit at the moment. I think the top sort of 12 or so are fairly agreed upon. After that, there's a few guys that are a little bit polarizing. You know, some might have them later, some might have them a little bit earlier, but this is, you know, what we've pulled together for now.
So did the champs throw up any bolters or sliders who moved up or down the draft list?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we've got Connor O'Sullivan at number 9 in our list. So he's certainly the top 10 bolter that's come in. He's a 198 centimetre key defender from Albury. He won the Allies MVP award at the championship. So, yeah, he's looking like a set and forget defender to lock into an AFL list. He's pretty much ready to go. So, yeah, he's one that's certainly jumped up, but there's others in there, yeah.
Is this a draft just on early sort of landings? That is it filled with midfielders? Does it key position players, swingmen? Where do you sort of see the balance of positions?
So there's basically something for everyone in this year's draft, which is really good.
That's
at
exciting.
The top end. Yeah. So I mean, sometimes we do have it the case where it's a lot of midfielders. Next year's draft is a lot of midfielders. You've got Levi Ashcroft and Jagger Smith and some of these guys that, Sid Draper from South Australia is right up there next year as well. So very much midfielder draft next year, but we've got a lot of key positions. We've got rebounding defenders, we've got key backs, we've got key forwards. We've got something for everyone this year. Wingmen are right up there as well, so a lot of different positions to get excited about.
So does that make it harder to then compare and contrast those, to put it in an order, not just your view of the best players, but who the actual clubs might pick?
Yeah, well, we don't have a final draft order yet for the clubs, so and they're all going to have different targets that they're going after, and so yeah, it does make it a little bit harder, but we're just sort of basing it on talent at this stage of the year, which is how we've come up with the list.
Now, a couple of names we've spoken about a few times, obviously Harley Reid has been one, and he has been at probably the number one spot in the eyes of many. Mm-hmm. Has that changed post-champs, or is he still holding on to that position?
I don't think so. I've got him at number one still. There is some recruiters I spoke to last week that said, you know, he's maybe second behind Jeb Walter in their eyes.
And Jed Walter being an academy pick, so no clubs can get him.
Exactly. So Jeb Walter's linked to Gold Coast Suns. They'll match an early bid on him wherever he comes, because he's a gun, key forward. So, I mean, the recruiters are sort of saying, well, you know, the midfielders come along a bit more often. Harley is a very good midfielder, and he can go different roles too, as forward and shown a bit down back as well. But Jeb Walter as a key forward, they sort of, that's powerful, that chases, that does all the defensive actions as well. They don't come across too often. So yeah, that's why he's maybe number one in the eyes of some. But yeah, Harley's the number one on the open market.
Is it hard for Harley to, you know, keep going at such a high rate, just given the hype that he did have coming into this season?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, I spoke to him the other day after the last championships game, and he sort of said he's handling the hype pretty well. He's pretty grounded. It doesn't really faze him too much, all the attention. But it has been hard to live up to the expectations after he had a massive under-18 championships as a bottom-age player last year, and was nominated as the number one pick from there.
And position-wise, has he been playing pure mid, or have they thrown him around?
Yeah, so he played forward for most of the first couple of games for Vic Country, because he'd come back from a spell with concussion that he had in May. So, and then he sort of worked his way into the midfield in the last couple of games and showed more in there, was very good in those last two games for Vic Country.
And one other name that many will know, the last name of Dersma, but Zane, brother of Xavier, he really put in one performance on the weekend. Did he have you shooting up your draft board?
Yeah, he was potentially dropping a little bit on the list last week when I started pulling it together, and then he moved back up a few spots after his performance on the weekend. So he had 191 Supercoach points, which was the second rated game of the championships, the second highest rated game of the championships, 22 disposals, 15 score involvements, 10 marks, 4 goals. He's just a smart X-factor medium-sized forward at 189 centimetres. But he's a serious talent that clubs are getting pretty excited about in that definite top 10, but potentially as high as 5 bracket.
And as you mentioned, you know, after the champs, you sat down, you watched a bit of footage, you spoke to people. Is this exactly what clubs are doing right now as we speak? They're in their whiteboards, in the the droves of Alberton and Westlakes and Icon Park with a whiteboard 1 to 40. Is that how it works from a club point of view?
They start to formulate their draft boards after the national championships, which are what everyone's waiting for. So, that'll start happening now. They're all doing up reports on every player, and then they'll start working out their orders in the next couple of months, and they'll, I mean, they should know where they're sitting in the draft order pretty soon because we've only got 6 weeks of the AFL season left. So, that's all happening behind the scenes at the moment. There's still a few games. Like there's guys like Ashton Moyer over in South Australia. Didn't have a great national championship, so he's been a slider as far as the draft order goes because he was top three coming into this year, really. So, but if he has a big second half of the year back at Glenelg in the sample, then, you know, he might jump back up a little bit. So there's guys like that that are still a close watch in the second half of the year.
And that's going to be my last question. Are there players out there that maybe missed champs that can still have a big end of the season? Like, I think Clayton Oliver was one that did that. There's still potential for these draft boards to change quite dramatically.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's guys that don't perform in champs or are injured in champs, like Cooper Simpson from Dandenong. He had a bad corky in the first game of champs, missed the last three games, but most clubs still see him as a top 20 at the moment, but that will be determined in the second half of the year. So, he'll be back this weekend, I believe. So there's definitely guys like that are, they've still got cases to push and will do so in the next 6 or 8 weeks.
Well, Cab, we wait with interest as the draft heats up over the next few weeks. And for the full list, head to the Herald Sun website for Cab's top 30 power rankings. Thanks for joining us.
No worries.
That's all for today's show. Thanks to our guests John Ralph, Lauren Wood and Chris Kavanagh. Head to the Herald Sun website for our Media Street column with Scott Gullen, Wednesday 12 p.m. Mick McGuan's latest take on the big issue, 12 p.m. Thursday. And live coverage throughout the weekend before Mark Robinson's tackle on Sunday night online.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.